Romans chapter 1. We read from verse 18 of Romans chapter 1 through verse 11 of chapter 2. So it's Romans chapter 1, verse 18, through to Romans chapter 2, verse 11. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. This is God's word that we read together. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women, and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men, and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what not ought to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who do such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who do such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each according to his works. To those by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no impartiality. And we end our reading of God's word. They know God is, because God has made that fact plain to them. God has shown it to them. His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly perceived. That is, not only clearly presented, but they have been clearly understood by every human being that has walked on the surface of this earth throughout its entire history. There's not a human being in the world tonight, or has there been a human being in the history of the world, who does not know that God exists. It's as plain as a nose on their face. And yet, they have rejected, they have suppressed, they have hindered that truth. And God has given them over to that which they desire. They became futile in their thinking. Their hearts became darkened. They claim to be wise, but in reality they are fools. They exchanged the opportunity to worship the one true God and instead turned to figments of their own imagination. So God says, that's what you want, that's what you'll have. God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts, to the impurity that was dishonoring their bodies. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. God gave them up to their dishonorable passions. He gave them up to a debased mind to do what not ought to be done. He filled them with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, or they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, and malice. Not only do they do these things, but they delight in doing them, and they give approval to those who give them and do them. A terrible catalogue, a wretched catalogue of the position of man's existence before his Maker this evening. You would wonder to yourself, is there any lower than man can stoop? Knows the truth, yet substitutes for a lie. Becomes futile in his thinking, darkened in his heart, foolish in his ways, given up to impurity, the produce of the debased mind, gossip, slander, men sleeping with men, women sleeping with women, disobedience, faithless, heartless, ruthless, inventors of evil. Is it possible to descend any lower than that? They not only do it, but they stand and applaud those who do it in the face of what they know to be true. Is it possible to descend any lower than that? Yes, it is. It is. It is possible to descend lower than that. Maybe you're sitting tonight, and as I read that passage, and as you've heard me preach in the past, or maybe you just heard it for the first time tonight, you're agreeing with what Paul is saying there. You say, that's right, Paul. That's right. People are denying God. They're denying the existence of God. And you're handing them over to, God's handing them over to the evil of their ways. And it's a good thing that God's handing them over to the evil of their ways. That's a good thing. I'm all on the side of God when it comes to dealing with evil. These men and women should get their comeuppance. They should get the just deserts of what they deserve. You might be sitting there saying, that's great. We need to hear more of that in our society today. We need to hear more preaching that extols the doing down of evil. We need to hear more preaching that gives a good, positive moral agenda. Speaks strongly and directly to the evils of our society. Do you know what? If you're thinking that, and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are worse. You are lower, Paul says, than these people. Let me say that just in case you didn't hear that. If you're sitting thinking that, if you're sitting here siding with God and siding with Paul, and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are the ones that are worse. And then the people that Paul is talking about here, who are standing clapping at that which is done wrong. You and all your moral smugness are the one that Jesus Christ is going to speak to tonight. So I'm going to speak to you tonight if you want to agree with what God's doing here, but yet you don't want to walk with Jesus Christ. The problem, you see, with the position that Paul is addressing tonight is that those who judge others, chapter 2, and I impress upon you the need for you to look at the Word of God and not just take it from my lips. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment and all you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the same things. You see, Paul's desire, when he is listing that catalogue of filth and evil there, is to bring those people, those men and women, under the subjection of God's law, so that they might turn and seek Jesus Christ. His goal is not to destroy them. His goal is to see them come to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. Here Paul is preaching law. Here Paul is preaching that which is wrong in accordance with what God requires, in the hope, in the expectation, and in the desire that those who are subject to this will realize their wrongdoing, will realize that they are wrong in the sight of God, and that they will then turn, as Paul works his way through this book, to listen to the message of the gospel that they might be saved. And when Paul is addressing those in chapter 2 here, and there is a difference of view among the commentators, some believe he's talking here to Jews. Others believe he is talking simply to those who would moralize in these issues. I don't see a dichotomy in either of these. We used to have a professor of Hebrew, still alive, a very, very godly man, Dr. Hugh J. Blair. Actually, he was in Lone Head as a minister for 6 years. And Dr. Blair in his translation, was to say, which one is it? Is it this one or is it this one? And you say, I like to take both. I'm going to take both tonight. I believe that Paul is speaking here to the Jew, but he's also speaking here as he speaks to the Jew who would take the position of the Jew, the position of the Jew today. Because you see, the Jew would stand and they'd listen to what Paul was saying at the end of Romans chapter 1 and say, that's right, Paul. God has revealed himself in creation. Men know that God exists. They're sure of it. They realize it, but they suppress the truth of it. And God does deal with the ungodly. He does deal with those who think that they are better than God. And the Jew would say, deal with them. Let's have a dealing with them. And maybe you're sitting tonight saying, let's have a dealing with these people. Let's see these people dealt with. But you see, the Jew wasn't asking for them to be dealt with in order that they would come to the gospel, because the Jew didn't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you see, you're exactly the same. You don't want these people to be dealt with that they might come to the gospel, because you don't believe the gospel yourself. Why you want these people to be dealt with is because you think you're morally better than them, and because you think you're morally better than them, if you can see them dumbed down, then you think you'll be all right with God. You think you'll be all right with God. I'll side with God. I'll agree with God in this one. And God deals with these people. Then there'll be clear water between all the bad people and the good people. Between those who are gossips, those who are slanderers, those who do these malicious things, and people like me who aren't that bad. It's just that I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I don't walk in His ways. And Paul says, therefore you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself. You who sit and say, right on, Paul, let's hear it, preach it, Paul. Let's hear this gospel, this message of the law rather preached. Let's hear these people condemned. Let's hear them driven down by the law, Paul. Paul's saying, well, just hold on. Maybe you need to take a wee time out here. Because in your clamor to judge these people, because you want them dealt with, so that you can keep clear water between you and them, you think in God's sight. Bear in mind that in passing judgment on them, you are in fact condemning yourself. You're condemning yourself because you do the exact same things. Oh, I don't. Do you not? Do you not? Well, you deny God, don't you? You deny the reality. No, I don't. You do, because you deny the reality of a son. No, I don't. Yes, you do, because you deny the reality of His deity and His human sacrifice. No, I don't. Yes, you do, because you're not prepared to bend the knee tonight and submit yourself to the authority of Jesus Christ. Yeah, you're sitting in this church. You may even like to hear me preach on occasions. But the reality is, you're still suppressing the truth that you know about Jesus Christ, because you don't want to face the truth concerning your sin. You don't want to be told that you're a sinner, born dead in sin, that you're dominated by sin, and you're doomed to a lost eternity. You don't want to hear that. You want to hear that everybody else is bad, but you don't want to hear the truth concerning yourself. You don't want to hear the truth about who you really are. You can come and sit in church, and you have come and sit in church for many years of your life, but the reality is the penny hasn't dropped. Because in your mind, you've created clear water between you and the bad people out there. Well, you know what tonight? God is sucking all that clear water out between you and them. And you know what? You're at the bottom of the pile. You're at the bottom of the bucket. You're not at the top. You're not going to be creamed off. You're at the bottom. You're the dregs at the bottom. You're the filth, the sediment that lies at the bottom. Why? Because you're condemning them for all their badness. You're judging them for all that you see as wrong, solely and only so that you can make yourself look good in the sight of everybody else. And God says, how dare you judge other people? In judging others, you're only condemning yourself. Now let me just put a wee caveat in here. Believers in Jesus Christ, it is appropriate and necessary for us at times to call our brothers in Christ to their wrongdoing. That's not judging them. That's loving them. Okay? Sometimes I hear some of you say, oh, I'm not meant to judge anybody. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we are meant to judge, if you want to use that word, in the sense of making a judgment about a brother in Christ who is erring or going in a way that is wrong. We're to call them back. To sit and say, I'm not going to judge anybody, is wrong. It's wrong. I'm not talking about that here. So let's get that one cleared up. We're talking here about the person who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, but who sits in condemnatory judgment on other non-believers in Jesus Christ, so that they can feel right in their own heart about who God is and who they are. And God says, such a person is condemned by their own judgment, because they actually are doing the thing that is wrong themselves. They might not be going out and murdering anybody, but their thoughts are murdering people. Their thoughts about other people are murdering them. And so they're condemning. You're condemning yourself tonight. You're condemning yourself. God doesn't even need to condemn you. You're condemning yourself in all your moral righteousness. And all your church niceness. You're condemning yourself. Let me tell you three things about you tonight. Three truths from God's Word, the God who has made you. You too will be judged. You too will be judged. Verse 2. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who do such things. Verse 11. God shows no impartiality, or no partiality. You will not escape the judgment of God. You will experience the judgment of God. Paul says very clearly in verse 3 that you will not escape the judgment of God. When Christ returns, everyone will be judged. Every man, woman, and child. They will be judged. The only basis on which a human being will be declared right in the sight of God, and we're talking about the legal declaration in the court of heaven. We're not talking about God looking and saying, well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. We're talking here the most stringent, just, legal court in heaven. And the only basis on which any human being will be declared right and just in the sight of God will be on the back of the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work at Calvary. Because at Calvary, Jesus Christ, He who was without sin, was made to be sin, and His being made to be sin was for the purpose of bearing the wrath that was due to His people for their sin, to be the substitutionary penal atonement of that individual. And only those who believe and confess in the name of Jesus Christ, and Him only, and who truly believe that Jesus Christ bore the penalty for their sin, stood in as their substitute, took that penalty, and was an atonement sacrifice for them, only those men and women will be saved. Only those men and women will be declared right on the day of judgment. And I want to say to you tonight, don't think that because you see yourself as being in the God's side vis-a-vis this position that is preached or spoken of in Romans chapter 1, that on these issues, that He will look at you and He will say to you, well, I'm glad you're on my side. I'm glad you're on my side. Don't think on the day of judgment that He will say to you, well, it's good that you are on my side. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Do you suppose, O man, he says, you who judge those who do such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? No, you won't. You won't escape the judgment of God. Don't think because you're on God's side in these issues that God's going to turn around and say to you, well, I was glad you have your support while you're on earth. I know you didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that I wasted my time in sending Jesus Christ to the cross for you. I know that that was just something you didn't care less about. But by the way, I was glad you put up your hand and said, I'm glad that those folk are being dealt with. And that somehow, on the basis of your standing in God's side while on earth now, you're going to escape the judgment of God. God's going to pass you by. It will not happen. Let me say that again. It will not happen. You will be judged. You will be judged. Don't count on the mistaken, your mistaken understanding of God's goodness to you. Paul says in verse 4, "Or do not presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience." In other words, don't sit in church and think because I've sat in church for so many years that I've had the privilege of doing that, that that means that I'm going to be all right come the day of judgment. Paul says, don't presume on the riches of his kindness. Don't presume on his forbearance. Don't presume on his patience. Don't presume on who God is and what he has done for you. Don't presume on it. The reality is that God has only allowed you to be in church these years, these weeks, these months, this day, because he wants to give you an opportunity to repent, Paul says. Not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. Have you never thought that you're in the place of worship for the purpose that you might hear the truth about God, that you might hear the truth about yourself, that you might hear the truth about your sin, that you might hear that you're a lost sinner, that you might hear that you're going to a lost eternity, that you might then turn by God's grace in the power of the Holy Spirit and repent? You think you're doing a good thing by coming to church? You actually think you're doing a good thing? You think that because you're here tonight, God will be pleased with you? You're here because it's a good thing. Do you realize that you're here by God's grace, that God would give you an opportunity to hear the truth? Do you want to climb down off your high horse for 20 minutes and realize who you really are? Do you want to come down from that elevated position where you've spent 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of your life judging every Tom, Dick, and Harry and Mary that lived around you and saying, "I'm glad I'm not like them"? Do you want to come down from that and look at the reality of who you are and see that God is being merciful and gracious to you? That He hasn't brought your life to an end, but that He has enabled you to live to this hour where you might hear the truth about who you are and that you might hear the truth concerning the way of salvation. Perchance you would allow that thought to resonate on your mind and penetrate into your heart and not disregard it the way in which you have so often in the past disregarded it. The privilege of being in the presence of God and His people is there that you might hear the truth. Paul says the reality of your position tonight, verse 5, is that your heart is hard. And impenitent. It's not hard like a rock. It's hard like a branch that has fallen off a tree in the autumn, that is dried up of all the sap because it's fallen off the tree and it's brittle and it's ready to break. There's no sap in you. There's no spiritual life in you. You're not attached to the vine. You're not a branch who is fed in the vine that is Jesus Christ. You're dry and you're hard and you're impenitent. And yet, in your moralizing, you cast aspersions on everybody else. For whatever reason, you believe that you are better than many other people. And the truth is that in your hardness and in your impenitence, and hear this tonight, you're storing up for yourself the wrath of God. You're storing it up. You're buying it in by the bucket load. Every time you sit in judgment on other people, every time you reject the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, every time you turn away from God, every time you want to suppress that truth, Every time you sit in judgment, what you're doing is you're buying in another bucket load of God's wrath. You're buying it in. 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 And you're sitting there and you're thinking, that's great. God's going to deal with all the people, the bad people in the world. And you know, as you're sitting there clapping that God's going to deal with all the bad people in the world, you know what you're actually buying in? You're not buying in brownie points from God. You're not buying in credit marks from God. You're buying in the wrath of God. You're buying in the wrath of God. As you're clapping and as you're delighting in the punishment of God upon unrepentant sinners, as you're clapping that God gives people over to a debased mind, as you're clapping that God gives people over to the foolishness of their hearts, as you're clapping that God gives people over to doing impurity, as you're clapping there at the approval of those men and women and how God is going to deal with them, you, in sitting in judgment of them, are condemning yourself, and what you're actually doing is you're actually compiling God's wrath upon you with every time you clap and every time you sit in judgment, every time you look down your nose at them and you think, those bad people God's going to deal with, but good people like me who go to church, good people like me who don't believe in Jesus Christ, but are respectable, good people like me, we're all right. No, you're not. You're bringing in the wrath of God. You're buying it in by the bucket load. And it's God's wrath you're bringing. It's God's wrath you're buying. It's God's wrath that will be revealed, that will be revealed on the righteous day of judgment. It's coming a day when all that you have bought in, everybody will see it. It's going to be revealed. It's going to be revealed. In His righteous judgment, He's going to reveal it. You're not going to escape God's judgment because you've sided with God. Don't take God's goodness and mercy to you in the sense that He allows you to come and hear the privilege of His word preached as being an indicator that He will permit you to escape His judgment. No, He's facilitating your coming to hear the word of God preached that you might turn from your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might turn in repentance. And take this warning to be true, that when you sit in that judgment, you are not applauding what God is doing, you are buying in judgment for yourself, and the wrath of God to boot. Secondly, you note you will be judged on the basis of what you do. God says He will render to each one according to his works. Why works? Because works actually convey what is in our hearts. Now you know, those of you who are believers in Jesus Christ tonight, that you are not saved by your works. Because all our works are as a filthy rag in the sight of our righteous and holy God. The only work that God has found acceptable in the history of this world was the work of His Son completed at Calvary's cross. The only work that God found acceptable. Our faith, our salvation, is grounded solely on the obedience and the work of Jesus Christ. There is no other ground on which we can say our works will satisfy God. We have nothing to bring. But when we believe in Jesus Christ, and when we believe that His obedient work in His childhood, in His adolescent life, in His adult life, in the 3 years of ministry, and His obedience unto death, and His facing that reality of the cross, we believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we believe that, then are saved. Then, we then begin to demonstrate that in the way that we live. We who have been born again of the Spirit of God live as men and women who have been born again of the Spirit of God. That's what Paul is driving at in his epistles. Be holy because God is holy, Peter says. Paul says, put to death the old man and put on the new man. Stop walking in the ways of your former self. You're no longer in bondage to sin. You have been made alive in Jesus Christ. Therefore, live as those who have been made alive in Jesus Christ. Don't live as those who are in bondage to sin. be the people who you are. And God says on the day of judgment, He is going to judge people on their works. What works? The works that show that they believed in Jesus Christ or did not believe in Jesus Christ. So the works are not the way of salvation. The faith in Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. But the manifestation or the evidence of our faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ is revealed in our works. And so when God reveals, when we stand up before God in the day of judgment, and all our life is displayed to all the world, what will be demonstrated was whether our works, done because of faith in Jesus Christ, or whether there's nothing there to show. We shall conclude by singing from Psalm number 1. In that psalm, it speaks of the righteous man and his fruit, and how they are bountiful. Will you note when you come to the fourth or fifth verse, whatever it is in the psalm, you look and see what you say when you're singing that verse. See what it says about the works of the ungodly. If anybody can see anywhere in that psalm where it speaks about the works of the ungodly, as we're singing it, put up your hand. There will be no works of the ungodly revealed, because the works of the ungodly don't matter, because there's nothing in them. It's only the works of those who believe in Jesus Christ that matters. And everyone will see. Everyone will see, because it will be a revealed judgment. He will render to each according to his work. To those by patience and well-doing seek for glory, honor and humility, he will give eternal life. Those of us who are seeking for glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are laboring out of love for God, day after day, patiently plodding away. Do you know the Christian life is both the most exciting and the most boring life there is? As you boringly plod your way through the Christian life, it is the most exciting experience any human being can have. As you boringly get on with the day-to-day routine of being a Christian, you're amazed day by day at God's mercy and God's grace and God's goodness, and you're brought to thank God for who He is. It's the most boring and exciting life there is to live on this earth, is the Christian life. Patiently seeking the glory of God, there will be honor. Honor in heaven and immortality. Immortality means life forever. But for those who do not obey the truth, those who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. What is the truth? What is the truth? The truth concerns Jesus Christ. The truth concerning Jesus Christ. And if you are not obeying the truth concerning Jesus Christ tonight, and if you are obeying the unrighteousness of your disobedience towards God, then you will not escape judgment. You will not be excused judgment. No matter what you think about all that's said in Romans chapter 1, verses 18-32, you will experience the wrath and the fury of God. And I can't raise my voice at that. Because if we could see now the wrath and the fury of God, if we could see that, if God would but show us the wrath and fury that's going to be poured out on you who do not obey the truth, and who pursue your unrighteousness, if we could but see that, we would all be silent. We would be struck by His holy righteousness. You will be judged, and it will be a just and terrible event for you. There will be tribulation. There will be distress. There will be no honor. There will be no glory. There will be no peace. There will be no eternal life. My friend, you can moralize all you want. You can applaud God for His dealing with the bad people all you want. But unless you get down on your knees and by God's grace, by His grace, you confess the sin that you're in bondage to, and you declare by faith a love for Jesus Christ, you will not escape the judgment that will bring wrath and fury. You will not be excused from the judgment that will bring tribulation and distress. That will be your experience, not just on that day, not just for that period of time, but for all eternity. For all eternity. It's easy to sit and clap and to applaud God's judgment on bad men and bad women. But if you do so out with Jesus Christ, the judgment on them will be as nothing compared with the judgment on you. For He says to you, you have no excuse. In passing judgment on another, you are condemning yourself. You are condemning yourself. Without Christ, you have no hope. Without Christ, you're going to a lost eternity. And don't go out of this building tonight and shake my hand and say, a nice sermon, minister. Because I'll look you in the eye and I'll say to you, what is nice about you going to hell? Father, would you be merciful tonight to those in this building who would like to say, well done, God, at dealing with those bad people, but yet who are still spitting in the face of the Lord Jesus tonight. Will you open their eyes to see? Will you open their ears to hear? And will you impress this truth on their minds? That they are without excuse, they condemn themselves, they will not escape the judgment, they will be revealed in the judgment for who they are, and they will experience the wrath of God and the distress and the terribleness and the tribulation of that wrath for all eternity. Father, only you can let them see it. Only you by your Spirit can work in their lives. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.